This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to the Bates Motel AfterBuzz After Show, Episode 4, Season 4, The Lights of Winter. This week, Norman lets down her guard, Romero has some decisions to make, and Norman's on the loose. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Lights in here, baby.
It's the lights.
You didn't tell me. I don't need to tell you.
Baby.
Because it's the lights of winter.
I'm with it.
Oh, I get it.
Okay.
All of the lights.
Norma's lights. Norman's lights. Romero's lights.
Oh, shit.
All of the lights. All of the lights.
Welcome again to the After Buzz After Show. Bates Motel, Season 4. Episode 4, The Lights of Winter.
Oh, rolling Molly up in this mug. Everybody,
that's how we're doing it. That's how we're doing it.
We went to a whole different place there. I don't know what that means.
If you're just listening, we had a little light show go on in the studio. Okay. So,
I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by my two lovely co-hosts, minus one. I'm joined by the lovely Julia Carely.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Julia.
Hi, guys.
Episode number 2 for you. We're
episode
so
number two
happy
for
to
me.
Have you here.
I'm in.
Joe, you have not. Have you missed an episode yet?
I don't think that I have.
What? This is a goddamn miracle.
That's right. It's like the loaves and the fishes.
Like, wow. I don't even know you anymore.
I know, right?
I have Mr. Sanfilippo over there tomorrow.
Nice to be
well.
Here with you guys.
Thank you. Thank you for all of you guys who join us in the chat room and who are joining us live right this very second, like Drew S. and Marsha and Sylvia Love, of course, and Shalom Joe and 313 Yolanda and Marsha. And all of you. Whoops, I'll turn that off. Thanks for joining us. We have a lot to talk about. Very interesting episode of Bates Motel today. A lot happened, man. Like, you know, first of all, we can get this out of the way right now. Our boy, turns out our boy Julian is real.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for real.
He's real.
Real life. And effed up dude.
A lot of us thought, like, including me, a lot of us in the chat room and on YouTube and iTunes even, thought that he was fake. And I thought those were all some great theories, but he's real. I kept looking for the clues for him to be fake, but then, yeah, he's real. So there's
I was really trying to make him fake.
I wanted him to be fake
really,
so bad.
Really, really trying
have
to make
had,
him
like,
fake.
Have we had, like, many fake people that don't exist? I don't think that we have. We've thought that there were several. We've thought that several incidences didn't occur, but I think we've almost always been wrong.
Yeah, we have. All right, but I really wanted it to be fake.
I was really hoping it was fake, but that's all right. It's cool.
So, I mean,
it's just as awesome, real.
We just had a little bit of. I want to get this out of the way. I'm going to go backwards from the order of maybe least importance in this episode. We have a little bit of. What did you think of the episode, first of all? What did you think in a general sense? I mean, I think, are you still loving the show?
I'm still loving the show. I'm full on in. Okay. It's hard for me not to be able to like binge watch them. It's hard for me to wait a week now because I was so into it every single day. I was at least ingesting some bits and pieces of Bates Motel. But anyways, worth the wait. Worth the week wait for me. Great episode. Really dense. Really fascinating. Mm-hmm. I think a lot is happening in this episode.
You know, there's a lot to be said about binge watching culture and, you know, watching stuff and watching 2-3 episodes at a time, but there is something to be said about waiting a week to get like a satisfying meal.
Well, I
just felt this way about Hannibal too. Like, I loved it so much, and when it came, it's like, oh my god, this is the night, and we're gonna do it.
You know, I talked about that a little bit last week when I was talking about binge watching this show. In the respect that there are these really strong constructed borders that the writers put in there for a reason, knowing that you have to wait a week to see the next episode to let the brevity and the psychosis of a show like this really sink in. So, you know, I'm happy to be back in that world and really be ingesting it in real time like everyone else.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Flippo?
About binge watching, I can't hang anymore. Like, if binge watching shows screws up my brain, I try not to, because, like, I find myself too deeply involved in their world.
Yeah.
And then it F's me up for real life.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
Like,
yeah.
I binge watched Breaking Bad for 8 hours, and I was like, having meth dreams. I'm like, am I a meth dealer?
No, you can't, Walking Dead. Walking Dead, Breaking Bad.
No.
Some shows you can't binge watch.
Because I'm in this terrible, terrible pit of shit. For this episode of this particular show, dude, they do such good work. I say it every week. They're so flipping good. I love that we have found a way for Norman to get through, to pass through the crucible, so to speak, to whether or not he knows or understands what the heck's happening to him. He does recognize he screwed up. That's nice.
Right.
And that I love that the screwdriver that followed him everywhere he went.
Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that. That was something else.
What's up with the strip club guy?
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Hello, strip club bouncers. You see a kid with a screwdriver? You take it away.
Well, he snuck it in. I mean, and it's a classic. Is that a screwdriver in your pocket? Are you glad to see me? he definitely had that moment in the VIP room. Lounge Blogger. Lounge Blogger is the one with the theory, among others, that Julian was fake.
Was not real?
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Hi, Jasmina. I'm just saying hi to everyone. Because I love them all.
We should do a show, though.
Huh? Oh, show, yes. Okay, so hi. who's that? So, I don't know much about strip clubs.
Not you. Never.
Oh, yeah?
I've never seen him in one.
Except
several times.
Except, I don't know much.
I've heard of your guys' bachelor parties.
No.
What? You know, I like the TV strip clubs where, you know, it's like nude on the thing. You go inside and everyone's fully clothed. Like, there's like seven dancers just fully clothed. Like, not even like suggestively, like no weird camera angles where it's like just the back and you're seeing that weird angle with just the back of them. It's just like, they're just clothed.
Let me ask you a question. Everything
happens in the back rooms. I'm going to dance around here clothed. And it's like, hey, you want to come with me in the back where everything happens? That's all. That works, Joe? I don't know.
I've never been to a strip club. Okay. I wouldn't know. I mean, I know that sometimes people go on Sundays, but I'm in church all day for 7 hours. I wouldn't know.
I feel you. Yeah, exactly.
I know on Saturdays I'm hearing confession.
Yeah.
So there's simply no time.
All right. Well,
I have been to a couple of strip clubs, gentlemen, and that's exactly how it works.
Okay. Well, it's interesting. So I thought that was the only moment of like, oh, come on. Okay. And I also love that Julian's whole deal was like, we're going to go to a strip club.
Damn right.
Yeah.
You're in the loony bin all the time. You got a bunch of cash. Where else would you go? I can't even believe I didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
I can't even believe I didn't like pick up on it when he took out the wad of money. I should have been like, money,
I did not
strippers.
See it coming.
Should have been like, boom.
Yeah. Well, let's jump back. So I want to go back into a little, I just want to go back and deal with just our Dylan and Emma situation. What do we name them? Dilemma? Do we call them anything?
That's amazing.
What do we call
Dilemma.
I love it. I like Dilemma. So let's talk about Dilemma. They haven't. It's great. That's a Dua moment. Where's Dua? Oh, Dua's not here, by the way.
Dua's not here.
She'll be back next week.
Oh, the Dua Dilemma.
Yeah.
Dua missed the Dilemma.
Yes.
We'll have to explain it to her.
So Dilemma, we have this very sweet moment where on the roof and. You know, Emma breaks the news. Olivia Cooke breaks the news that like she has to go to Seattle to get the special treatment.
Boom!
The doctor there and the dad thinks it's.
And they got a monorail there too, you know.
Yeah, they do, and they got a needle.
And a needle,
a little bit of coffee.
Monorail will take you right to the needle.
Wow, That's right.
Seattle. I've never been.
Oh, no. You know the coffee. You want to land of coffee snobs.
Yeah. No, they don't have there?
Hmm.
Black people. But I tell you that, I did. But listen, so they have, she's going to Seattle, and she's on the roof, and she tells...
You can't have it all the way.
What? She tells... What? She tells Dylan that she's going, and it's a very sweet moment. They're the sweetest freaking couple. They haven't had sex. They haven't done it. She can't breathe. Now she can breathe, and they're on the roof, and she's like, I'm going to Seattle, but I want you to come. I go anywhere with you, Emma. God damn it. That was so sweet.
So cute. So sweet.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you loving Dilemma?
Slightly saccharine, but sweet indeed.
Okay, but to you bitches side, do you like them as a couple?
I actually do like them as a couple. I like them both. I like their characters so much individually that I'm kind of enjoying the way that they've morphed together and how they've sort of changed each other a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit much. You know, a little soon, a little too much too soon. Hey, but man. Hey, when you're in love, you fall hard.
Yeah, but they've both been through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I would like to see more of their characters. You know, Jen, I wonder what they're gonna do. It feels like they're kind
of. It feels like a little bit of a write off, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like a little worrisome. Aside, but like maybe there's not enough for them to do yet. But I don't know. Hopefully they'll just send them off to Seattle and that's it. I'd like to see more of these
probably not, because we're still dealing with the issue of Emma's mom.
Yeah.
So we're still going to reel her back in. They might go out to Seattle for a moment or two, but there's still the mom floating out there.
And Joe, remember the days of like Emma and Norman Scooby-Dooing around? Like,
I do. Yeah. I remember she was filming it up.
In the woods.
With the woods with a flashlight. What were those days?
She was filming that mess up with the tank and then, it's over. It's done. You know what I like, though? What makes me nervous, though, because when people's options change, sometimes their choices change. And Emma has so many more options now. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. So I feel bad for Dylan, because Dylan's options are already out and on the table.
Right.
You know, and it's interesting to see, you know, because you see like a girl like, you know, Emma's position, right, who had no real prospects, knows she's going to die young, can't really take a swing at kids and family and the whole thing.
Right.
So a guy like Dylan comes along, that's great. That's as good as it's going to get, and she's got to know that. And now she's got all these options. Dylan still got all the baggage he had 2 minutes ago. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's still got the, my dad is my uncle, and my mom is BF crazy, and my brother is a violent sociopath, and, you know, he's got all that baggage hasn't gone anywhere for him. So it's interesting to see the dynamic shift and to see, you know, see where how the power dynamics shift and see where it's all going to land.
Right. So it seems like it would be a good move for him to move to Seattle, start fresh, start anew.
Oh, no question. Like, she is. No question. But is she going to be into him in 6 months? Is she going to be into him in 8 months? Is she going to be into him after her first year of college, when her mind is, you know, exploring all kinds of interesting things?
Yeah.
And comes back to blue collar Dylan.
Has heartbroken.
What's
back
that?
In the college days. Sounds like you had your heart broken by somebody.
Listen, all I'm saying is that if you don't keep up, then you're left behind.
This happened to all of us, Joe. So we'll see. I mean, someone here said Dilemma's boring, and Lounge Bloggers said Dilemma are boring. And I, you know,
well, and for this boring. Show, they're a little because nobody's killing anybody
sweet.
Yet.
Sweet, yeah.
But I mean, it only was about 3 minutes long, and it was sweet. You know what it's about, though? It's freedom and hope. That's what's going on in this episode. Those are the big themes.
Well, here's the thing about Dilemma. We can move on because there's not much Dilemma in this episode. But here's the thing about them is, just like Norman and Norma and Romero. No one stays happy on this show, so I just feel
it
like
it wouldn't be any fun if they did.
There's some bad, like, it's just all so saccharine sweet that there's some bad shit about to happen to Dilemma.
It's about to go down. Like, it's about to go down, like, for everyone.
It's just it's so like, I can breathe. I'm in love. Let's go. Like, someone's gonna die, right?
There's no question. Well, mom already died.
Mom already died.
All right, maybe that's it. All right, so going back. So then, you want to go Norman and Julian first, or do you want to go Romero first? What do you guys want to talk about?
Let's do Norman and Julian. We already touched on it.
Huh? Okay, well, there's a lot. Maybe we'll go back and forth. There's a lot. But I just, we see Norman back at Pine View, back at Shady Acres, doing his thing, and beginning. And I got to tell you, man, I said this last week, but my man Norman's not doing himself any favors. He is the craziest acting motherfucker in the whole spot. Norman is crazy. Like, Norman is acting so crazy.
But I love the way he's playing it. I love it. I love that he's playing it like
Highmore or Norman?
Oh, it's so good, Highmore.
Yeah. Oh no,
like
he's the
it's so good. It's like, you know what? I talked to Dr. Gay Edwards, which we're not, you know, we all flack about that.
I don't care.
But I talked to Dr. Edwards, and he knows what's happening. So you, no, I'm not taking your goddamn pill. No, right. I don't. You don't know who I am.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be here. I will be out by close of business today.
I'm like, take the pill.
Oh.
I'm like, poor Oliver looks like a nice guy.
Oh, he does.
He's sweet. And the contempt that Norman has for everyone who works there. Hello, Oliver.
Oliver, is it?
I'm not. Like, he's, I don't know, like, poor guy.
There's such a smugness to him in there, and such naivete.
Sounds
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Of what's actually happening, then it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know,
it's someone you'd see who's in the crazy bit who doesn't belong. Everyone doesn't belong there. It's like it's this complete smugness and complete contempt. Like, ugh, this place. I mean, I'm not supposed to be in here, guys. Like, this place is lame. Like, okay, I'll do whatever, but I'm getting out of here. Like, so do what you want, but I'll be out of here by noon. And it's like, no, dude.
Nobody. Oh.
So rough.
Nobody. Everyone knows it. Can't you see how they're all looking at you, man?
Yeah, it's like, and it's like everyone knows it but you. And then, of course, I was thinking the whole time, like, oh, Norman, everyone knows it but you. Everyone knows it but you. And then right after that, he says the line, the whole world has gone mad, but I'm not.
But I'm
yes,
not.
Yes, but I'm not.
And I'm like, oh, no.
That was right before they dropped the baits. Yes. The baits up. Oh, so good. I was like, oh.
I'm like, poor Norman.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, Freddie Hartman's really doing it. Like, he's really playing this well.
I will say, in my binging of the show, mm-hmm. it's been really quite a treat, if you will, to see
A treat.
To see his the level of his acting just elevate and elevate and elevate
yeah.
from episode one to what we're seeing now. It's really
would you
impressive.
Say at this point he's a Top Gun actor?
Top Gun actor.
I mean, you know, as I said before, in season two or three or something, Freddie Highmore's been breaking my heart since Finding Neverland. You know? He broke my heart. But he's just something about this kid who's like, you root for him. Even
you
when,
do. You...
Just before he, like, you know, stabs someone
right?
or chokes someone out, I'm rooting for him until the very second before he kills someone. I'm like, oh, God, he's a murderer.
But it's not his fault.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, that's the, you know, yes, it's not, but it is. And please lock him up and keep him. I was getting nervous that he was going to get out. I was like, shit, what if he does get out? And then he's going to come over and come to the festival.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Lights or the Lights of Winter, whatever it's called, and
yeah.
see Mom with the sheriff smiling for pictures, but you know that picture, whatever they took, it's going to wind up in whatever Seaside magazine mm-hmm. that's going to be in the loony bin. He's going to lose his head.
Yeah. And back to just one more thing about Freddie, because we're, you know, Jasmina mentioned that there's Emmy
version. Lots of it.
But he hasn't gotten it. Freddie gets no shine. He gets no run for Golden Globes. No run for Emmys. Like, this
did you
guy,
see? Did you
come
see
on.
The Annie or Amy and MC.
Annie
is pushing. Like, did you see their what you call it? Their promo for this now?
No.
They've got Emmy consideration is in the promo. They've got because somebody, I don't remember who it was, but one of the reviews was, if this is not on the Emmy nod list, they're out of their minds.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's they're flashing that in the promo. Good for you. You know,
it's campaign time. You know, it's Oscars are over and Emmy campaign time pretty much starts now.
Yeah.
You know, and then we've got a while to go, but like, God, I'm rooting for it. I wish they're anyway. You know, whatever. All right,
it would be a crime against God.
So he's got to bust out of this place, and he realizes his only hope is his boy Julian, who's like, I mean, you know, and Julian seems to have the run of the joint, right?
It's been there a long time,
yeah,
4 years.
He's sort of got the run of the joint. He's got the way, like, he's bouncing around, knows all the guards, zooms past whoever, puts, you know, throwing his arm around, you know, let's get out of here, buddy. But so he does. He knows all the tricks. He gets him in the office, gets him past the guards, does the old butter knife in the shoe trick.
It's an odd looking butter knife, but yeah, I'm in.
The old butter knife in the shoe.
Butter knife in a loony bin. Yeah, it's not gonna be that sharp. Left to jimmy a door open.
Well, and then but what did you think was gonna be? He made that really spectacular call to Dylan, and I feel like Dylan's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you even mean? And I can't remember where Dylan is. Does Dylan know? How much does Dylan know?
I was wondering the same thing.
Hmm.
He's been pretty absent. He's been pretty pretty focused on Emma this whole time.
But does he know about any of these deaths?
He knows
like,
that
Does he know that Norman may have killed people? Does he know? I can't remember.
I don't think he knows about Emma's mom, right? He doesn't know that. For sure.
But I mean, but like, in terms of like the family secrets, I mean, how much does Dylan know? I know Norma and Norman know, and Romero knows a little bit of something. But is Dylan looped in to Norman may have killed Miss Watson?
I thought he was into that.
Is he looped in? Is he looped in, guys?
I'm pretty sure he was.
I don't know, but
I don't know if he is.
Because he was very much like, what are you even talking about, bro? Like, what do you mean? I thought, like you know, like, things are going to come out. And he seemed not worried. He's like, where's your doctor? And I thought he'd be a little more worried if he was looped in. That's why I was, like, a little confused in that one. I don't know.
Well, it kind of seemed to me that... I would be this way also. It's like, you're in the loony bin. The loony bin's job is to make sure you stay in the loony bin.
Yeah.
Along with rehabbing your brain.
Yeah.
So I would be kind of confident that he would be staying in the loony bin. You know what I mean? I'd have been like, okay, you're saying some crazy shit, but that's okay. Your doctor's going to find you. And you know what I mean? Like, well, I was really surprised how easy it was for them to break out. Like, that was kind of disappointing. You know, I was like, come on, Acres.
Well, especially Julian, who's been out a bunch of times, right?
Like, he's if he's been out a bunch, wouldn't they
have him on lockdown of some sort?
Right?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm at the front door. Like,
he's not like a violent guy so far. He just wants attention.
But also, Shady Acres is a nice place. It's like, you know, it's like the country club prison of... You know, like something like the white collar crime guys to some country club prison or whatever where they play tennis and.
Well, I mean, to me, I don't. I'm not a doctor. I've never prescribed medication that was legal, and I would just imagine though that even if you're a nice loony bin, I mean, you should be a lockdown loony bin. You should be able to keep it together.
Well, they broke some locks, climbed through some windows. You know, they worked for it.
Yeah. Boom, boom.
So
it's just a little easy for him. He's done it before.
So he jumped out. I'm going to jump back to Normero. So we have the aftermath. So then we kind of go back and we see the aftermath of Norma getting carried over the threshold into bed, presumably to have some stuff happen.
Sexual stuff, Joe?
Guys. We think they had sexual relations. I don't know. Dr. Braswell isn't comfortable saying the words.
I didn't say it.
When he's older, he's going to get to do it. It's going to be so exciting. Thank you. How much older are we going to get?
Hopefully you won't be there.
Your little boy grows up.
Downstairs, it's after. And Norma is like, she's fighting this whole... It's this weird thing. I feel so bad for Norma because she is fighting like she doesn't know how to be happy. Like, she's like hesitant. Is this a thing? Does he really like me? Should I like him? She's here fighting with this. And then it's almost like I don't deserve to. I don't want to be happy. But, you know, Romero's as cool as a cucumber. Like, hey, man, it's all good. It was great. I don't regret it. Have a seat. And she's like made him breakfast, and then has that cute comic moment of like, well, you're very big. You're a big guy. I laughed out loud.
Did you?
I did too. That was cute. What do you think of the morning after?
I loved it. My name's not Julia. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
I enjoyed the awkwardness of it. I'm still trying to figure out Romero in this. Is he living out a fantasy a little bit of like the nice husband and wife? Is this what he's always wanted?
I see it every
is he
goddamn
desperately
week.
In love?
He loves her. He loves her. The end.
Every goddamn week.
I say it.
Every goddamn week you say it? Well, this is only my second week, so I'm
so, I'll tell you this.
He loves
her. The last, I don't know how many weeks.
Right.
It was your turn. I don't know.
It's your turn. Anyways, I still thought it was sweet. Yes, I agree that she doesn't know how to be happy. I don't think she thinks she deserves to be happy. Yeah. And she's torn, you know? Torn between worrying about Norman and the awful things that he said to her.
Yeah.
And how she sort of acts out when Norman talks to her like that every time she goes and bangs someone.
Yeah.
You know, to get back at him. So is she getting back at him, or is she really following her heart?
Right.
So I think she is just as confused.
Yeah, I think it's sweet too. Her expression of how she's feeling is like her cooking, and like so maybe she loves him a lot, so she made him a lot of food. it's that whole thing.
Well, she likes to feel useful, right? She needs to feel useful, and so. But what's interesting, I don't know. One of the interesting things to me is, and the show is always so brilliant. And when we had Carrie on here, we talked about it. There's no accidents. So you know, they've set up that outfit, the outfits she wears, that 1950s or late 50s, early 60s mm-hmm. housewife outfits that she wears, the house that they live in that's out of time, out of place, the car that she drives that's clearly out of time, out of place. Remember, she lost the car when she went nuts, and she got the Mustang, and then she got the car right back. back, right? Because we're reasserting this character that she's choosing, and the choice of the character is in relationship to her relationship with her son. I mean, that's this all this character that she's living in is not just a character that, that the show's created, but it's a character that Norma, the character within the show, has created. She's made this choice. I'm living this.
Right.
And so when Romero's in there and Norman is not in there, then we've got this weird thing where she's doing this character, right? She's doing what the housewife would do in the morning. She's making breakfast for her husband. But is she allowed to be this character with him? Is she allowed to be happy in this character with this man who is not her son? Her son's not even in the picture now. She has this freedom now, and I think the whole episode's about freedom. This freedom to explore, is this who I really want to be next?
Yeah.
Can I be something different? And am I allowed to be happy within this, even if Norman is in the loony bin? And then what does that mean about me? How does that inform what I am and who I am? And then if you look at the lights, the outfit she wore in the lights part of the show, that was not her normal 1960s housewife outfit.
No, she was
she looked modern.
Modern
and slick. Yeah. And I think that's no accident. The show doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
So that was her exploring something different. Norman is not in the picture. I'm going out with my husband. He's an important man in the town. I'm going to wear something new and modern.
Well, I'm glad she showed up because she made a point to, like, she wasn't sure. Like, I don't know. I got to go to Portland. It's far away. I probably won't make it. And Romero's doing all things like, you know what? We should go to this thing. And the cute thing about it is I can't, you know, whether he's living out a fantasy or not. Like, he's kind of... It's like he really wants these things, but he's kind of hiding behind. He's still hiding behind the fact that we have to do this for appearances. Mm-hmm. Like, we should really go to this thing.
Perfect
because
excuse.
It's what we
joint
have to
bank
do.
Account.
We should joint bank account.
Because it looks right.
It looks right, yeah. You know? So it's like, I liked all that. I also loved how she made him the breakfast and just sort of like watched and didn't eat with him. Like, he's like, okay, well, all right. Well, you're back there. I'll just eat.
I guess.
And she's like...
No, I mean, that's again, out of time, out of place. Like, that is not some... I've been married a long time. I cannot think of a time when my wife has made me breakfast and watched me eat it.
Yeah. Do you make Eric breakfast and just stand behind him?
Right.
Have you guys met me? I make breakfast.
Right. The impossibility of this right now, right?
Maybe with a frying pan.
Like, are there any women out there that make breakfast for their husbands in 2016 and stand behind them and just watch them eat?
I think it's lovely.
It's interesting. It's out of time, out of place. It's an interesting thing.
So that'll happen. So then, you know, we get Romero has a lovely. He goes to the bank, of course, and has a lovely conversation with the lovely Rebecca, who is who I thought I kept thinking, man, you redheads, like no, I can think like this could have been Julia. Why didn't you audition for this role?
Why didn't
Julia?
I audition for this role?
I'm gonna make some calls.
Please do.
It should have been you.
Light some people up. This is bullshit.
Please do.
Anyway, Rebecca. But I like that Rebecca, and I like her character.
Peter.
But but Rebecca's just like, she's got a little like, so did you kill Romero? I mean, did you kill, Bob, what's his name?
Bob.
Bob Parrish.
Bob Parrish. Yeah, did you kill Bob Parrish? And it's like, so Bob's got $3 million stuffed away in a safe deposit box.
Yeah.
She knows about it. She's all about it. She's got the key. She laundered the money.
But she needed the other key.
Need the other key, which I know you have. He's like, I don't have the key. Let me get out of here.
We keep talking about this right now.
And not to mention, I'll just skip to the part that he then gets a mysterious call from the DEA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, hey, we know the money's been laundered. Probably looks like it may have been laundered in this bank. Maybe by this chick. I don't know.
This Rebecca chick? Do you know her personally?
Well, I think
what is he going to do?
Well, Rebecca's not long for this earth, man. She knows a little more stuff than she ought to. No.
Well, who's gonna kill her? Romero?
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Really?
Yeah, think it through, bro. I mean,
who
he's got the new family. He's got the new life. He's on the hook for a murder rap. Not the first one, not the only one by any stretch.
Oh, no.
We got the money laundering. We got stealing all of Bob's money. We got sinking Bob's boat. So we got law enforcement, premeditated murder. Then we got a cover up. Then we got all the stolen money.
Are you positing that Romero's not the good guy that I think he is? Are you saying?
I believe we've used the term gray in the past.
Wow.
So I'm saying that all this is going to come down on his head because the DEA doesn't have to have once law enforcement's involved in a murder rap and they're following their investigation. It's not like he can stop it.
But
he's the local sheriff.
But she can sing all she wants. She doesn't know Romero's involved unless he wants the money.
Well, here's the question. If I were Romero, I'd start getting nervous right about now about loose ends. I'd start getting nervous about, I mean, I got away scot-free as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
Bob's gone.
Fine.
Nobody knows. And because there's nothing to say that Bob didn't bail, right? Until you got $3 million. $3 million is a hell of a red flag. It says, I'd have taken the $3 million
right.
if I was not alive, if I was not dead. So, I mean, this is all big time-ish pointing at Romero right now.
Okay.
I'm just saying, our girl Rebecca has stumbled onto some ish that can take our boy Romero down.
I agree.
You think Romero's going to take out Rebecca?
It's a loose end.
Yeah, well.
Who else is going to do it?
Rebecca is.
Who else has the stakes?
Rebecca, but I think Rebecca's the one who has the plan. I think Rebecca's got some blackmail shit going on.
I'm not
on.
Saying Romero's going to go to her house at 9 in the morning and kill her apropos of nothing.
Right.
But they're going to structure it in such a way that she pushes and he's going to have to kill her. Huh. But that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I just.
I mean, the character, we won't feel sympathetic toward him if he goes over there and just whacks her out of left field. But if she starts pushing, or if she starts talking to DEA, or if she starts trying to twist on him.
She's already trouble. She's already
getting
trouble.
That's it. It's all, you know, the table's set. Kill him?
Oh, this wife, let me go see her. And she's jealous.
Table
is a woman scorned.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I thought it was fun to meet you. And she, like, threw back that hot toddy. Afterwards. Like,
whang.
I'm like, isn't that hot?
That's hot cinnamon whiskey that you're drinking.
Just, like, threw it back. Like, Norma.
Damn it.
Damn it. So, I don't know. She doesn't seem very...
She's drinking like an elf.
Yeah. I'm like, that's hot. I'm screaming. But, yeah, I don't know. So, she's not going to just sit.
No. Nope.
She's going to either force him to get that key, or push him on the key, or try to be involved
that's
in breaking
saying.
Them up.
But the table has been set.
All right. Well, I guess if Norma...
Rebecca's walking around with an anvil over her head.
I guess if Romero thinks that she's a threat to the marriage and the cover-up and everything else that's going on, then yeah.
I don't see what other option he has.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. All right. Well,
man, people die in this town all the damn time.
Yeah.
Like, a lot.
A lot.
I mean, Jazz... Marsha said he can frame her.
He could frame her, but I don't...
Kill her.
But here's the thing. I don't want her talking to anybody.
Marisha.
Yeah. I don't want her talking to anybody, Marisha. Yeah. I don't want her talking.
All right.
Like, if I'm Romero and she's going to go to the DEA on whatever charges I'm putting her up on,
yeah.
The first thing she's going to say is, I'd like to make a deal because Sheriff Romero pretty much killed Bob. There's no question about that.
Well, that's what our good friend Shalom Joe says. If he gets arrested, she'll take him down with her.
That's it. Know, that's why she got to get wackified.
Yeah, wackified it is. All right. So jumping back... Well, Norma goes off and visits Emma, and a nice little sweet little scene there. And then she decides to come back and make it to the Festival of Lights, or what's it called? The
Lights of Winter? I don't know. You
turn off the lights.
Turn off the lights, and I'll glow.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What was that? Was that chump like a candle? No, it was not. That would come on.
Vanilla Ice.
That was vanilla ice.
Oh, all right. Turn off the lights, and I'll glow.
Oh, glow. That's what I said.
To the extreme. No, go, not glow.
Is it glow or go?
Go.
Oh, I thought it's glow.
Turn off the stage and I'll go to the extreme.
What?
I'll go
turn
to
off
the
lights.
And I'll glow?
I'll glow.
Or to the extreme and I'll go. I thought it's, and I'll go.
I can't believe we're doing this.
We can't
be doing this. I want
to stage and watch the candle.
No, it's glow. But no, we can't do it. We're doing a show.
Okay, is it go or glow?
Someone it's got to be up. Glow.
Marissa, look that up for me.
Turn off the lights and I'll go? What does that mean?
He's stopping. He's in the middle of a sentence. Turn off the lights and I'll go to the extreme. Drop the mic like a vandal. Light up the stage and wax a chump like a candle.
Again, I can't believe we're talking about Vanilla Ice in this show. It's my fault. I apologize for even making the reference and somehow or another we landed here.
All right.
No.
So, it's too much. All right. Anyway, back to the breakout. So Norman and my man, what's his name, are on the loose. Norman and Julian are on the loose. They hitchhike out of there. They make it to the strip club. They pull out the big wad of money. Julian's been there before. He gets taken to the back room by one lady and has Norman have a good time. And, you know, Norman's probably the most uncomfortable guy at a strip club I've seen since our friend Matt Vaca.
Don't call him out by name. That's hard.
No one knows who he is. years ago.
Oh,
this guy. We
let me
know.
Give you a lecture about him.
That's a
show. What's your major?
Norman was like, it's just his level of like. We can go in the back room. Okay.
Turn off the lights and I'll glow.
All right.
God damn it.
Well, that's stupid anyway.
You're stupid.
Poor Norman's sitting there, and the girl's talking to him, and he's just, like, shifting and back and forth and can't do his thing, and I love this whole thing, like, what happens in the back room? Like, if Freddie and I were playing, that's so great. And I'm like, oh, don't go in the back room. But I'm like, do not go in this
don't
back
do
room.
It.
Because sure
I was
enough,
talking to the girl. I was. Mm-mm.
They get in the back room. The screwdriver comes out.
Terrible.
I'm like, oh no.
Is he gonna kill this nice stripper
not
person?
I felt more dread. That's almost in you know. The last time I felt that much dread in a strip club. Never mind. I was super like, oh my god, what's gonna happen?
Oh, that's what my note says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really. I was brain. But then, so we did, you know, the duo, we talked about this a couple seasons ago. We did sort of figure out what some of the triggers are, some of the normal triggers are, and obviously, being sexually aroused.
Horn of sexiness makes him go crazy.
Horn of sexiness is what they call it. Horn of sexiness makes him go crazy. Yeah, is that an adjective or a verb?
Horn of sexiness.
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't be getting the horny sexiness on.
Makes
the boy go crazy.
That sounds like I don't know. All right. So he gets the lap dance and it's happening, and then old Norma shows up. Mother Norma shows up.
By the way, lovely scene. Enjoyed that tremendously.
Did you like that?
That was
great
fantastic.
Choice to not like have Freddie Highmore make out with the
Thank
chick.
Thank you.
But to have Mother Norma make out the chick. And, you know, I kind of like this Mother Norma.
I tell you what.
Mother Norma's kind of sexy.
If she just doesn't kill anybody for a hot minute, things get fun.
And Mother Norma's kind of feeling herself, too. She put on the feather boa.
Oh, yeah.
She's like,
looking good.
Shit.
Feeling good.
Jesus. What did you think of this whole sequence?
I actually loved it. I thought it was really interesting that Norman's version of Norma is now sort of taking on its own persona and it's a life of its own. It's not just his mother telling him what to do. Now he's really becoming his mother and making choices as Norma, in a very sort of different version of Norma. But I'm sure you gentlemen all liked that version of Norma.
Mother Norma.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
She's looking good.
Yeah. And Mother Norma's not afraid. But what's weird, I can't get into the psychology, thanks Marissa, what Norman thinks that Norma, like Norman somehow thinks Mother Norma would be perfectly okay making out with a stripper. Like, that's weird. Like it's like, well, I know my mom and my mom would love you.
What are we saying there? Because so many times Mother Norma has come up to kill people who are being those types of girls, who are those types of girls. So now
that's
what does it mean?
Things in Psycho, like, you know, you're not good enough for Norman, or you try to seduce Norman, or you're dirty, you're filthy, you're a whore.
Dirty girls.
Yeah.
And so now what does it mean now that he's started to identify Mother Norma as one of those dirty girls? Is this how we start to make it okay that he's eventually going to kill Norma?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. And also maybe, you know, back to the whole sexual arousal thing, like the, what do you call it? The sexual freakiness, whatever you call it. I don't know.
The horny sexiness?
Yeah. Back to the sexual arousal thing, maybe this is the only way that he can feel any kind of sexual pleasure is through Norma, because he wants to have sex with Norma, right?
That makes sense. Mm. I don't know. That's good.
Hey, some Freudian-ish.
Just call me Dr. Edwards, brother.
I'll tell you what. Get you a sweater vest and a nice Windsor knot, you're good to go.
Because he's not able to, like, as he's no longer able to, like, you know, Norman's no longer able to, like, have sex or be sexually aroused as Norman, because Norman doesn't do that anymore. Norman just blacks out. But Norma, she can have a good time, you know, apparently. So, I don't know. It's a really interesting version of Mother Norma. So, good old Julian, who is real, because he's down the hall getting into a bunch of trouble down there with a bunch of bouncers. And, you know, Norma comes out ready to defend him. Mm-hmm. And this is back to what happened in the pilot, where you realize that, you know, Norman, who is a psycho killer, is still a little guy.
Still a little dude.
So when he came out like, oh, I'm going to do some damage. And the bouncer was like,
boom.
Right? And he's like, oh.
Oh, good night. Good night. I got a screwdriver and a boa.
I'm like, it's a psycho. It's Norman Bates. Everyone look out. Oh, he's gone. That was it.
Good night.
I like that they use his physicality, like there, like they remind you that he's still.
Well, he's not gonna like Hulk it up.
Yeah, I don't know. But this is kind of what you have in your head when you think of like Norman, you know, going Norma. So anyway, he's out, and so then he shows up. Good old Edward shows up, and the most, you know, sweet, empathetic doctor in the world. And, like, he has just the most empathetic eyes, you know, my man Damon, or the guy who plays Edwards. Like, he's like, I know, Norman. Yeah, I know. And Norman's got the feather boa on.
It's a great boa.
He's in there, and he puts the blanket on him, boa and all, and, like, all right.
Well, see, I got some practical questions here. that stripper paid for that boa. That it couldn't have been cheap.
No. I mean, a nice boa.
You know what I mean?
It's really nice.
I don't know. I've never tried to steal a stripper's boa. Hey. But I'm just saying, I would expect you'd been like, hey, motherfucker, put the boa down before you get in the ambulance.
You haven't tried to steal a stripper's boa because it's not 1935.
That's a very good point. I haven't seen a stripper's boa in a long time. But from what... Now, I've never been to a strip club, but if I had been, I've never seen that many clothes in a strip club.
But Edwards comes in and he seems like he's almost like...
No, he's very empathetic. He's got a good handle on it. He's building that trust. And like I said, this is the first time Norman has given himself the freedom to acknowledge that he might be screwed up.
Yeah, and he also acknowledges that Julian is like, he's like, you know, Julian does this all the time, man. Julian does it because he wants us to chase him.
This is the only way he feels love.
Mm-hmm. He says, I know you're not taking the meds. Like, you won't let us help you. Like, are you going to let us help you? And it's almost like, you know, not unlike the famous scene in Good Will Hunting with Robin Williams and Matt Damon when he's like, you know, it's not your fault. And he's like, blah, 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 it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And then plane breaks down. It's like... Dr. Edwards is basically saying, okay, Norman, I don't know. It's up to you. It's up to you. Do you want me to help you? No. Do you want me to help you? No. Do you want to help you? Yes. That's a good method.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm going to try that on you.
Bum, 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 bum. So you're going to help me?
Yeah.
tell you what you're not going to help me with is lyrics to Ice Ice Baby. Tell you that right now.
But how about that Freddie Highmore and that acting? What about that scene, that last sequence? What do you have written down there about that stuff?
Oh, I have some little notes about the stripper. When Norman was Norma, the stripper really handled him really well. And knew how to appeal to that sensual side that he was feeling as Norma, and I think that's why he was so able to slip into that sexy Norma character.
So you think maybe if it had been a different stripper who'd have been like, you're a freak, security,
and instead of been... someone like, Norman, what's wrong? Norman, what's wrong? Or like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? This
why
is
you
wrong.
Being a freak?
And hype
you got
him up
a screwdriver.
This way. She's
I'm
like,
out of here.
Whatever you want, whatever you like.
That's interesting.
And that is a goddamn bella. Hot take, Julie Carely. That's like, a hot
so,
take.
So the stripper in question. The fact that she didn't call him out, didn't make him feel like a freak, trickled it along.
Okay,
I got you.
But she said it in the room. She's like, you know, this is a safe place in here. Whatever you're into, it's fine. Yeah. You can role play. It's okay. It's not like you're a freak. What's going on with you? Mm-hmm. So he felt free to express himself, or she felt free to express herself.
I'll tell you what. Next time, I bet you call security.
Well, next time she'll call security. The guy's like, I want to see her for the borough. Security! Security! It's my boa. But I think that you're 100% right. And I think that this may be the key to Edwards getting to him, too.
Because Edwards
has that sort of empathy. Like, whatever, it's okay. Whatever you're doing, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And it was good to see, like, Norman sort of break out. And so we see these moments with Norman before, these vulnerable moments of, like, I don't know what's happening. We've only seen him do it with his mother. Like, Mom, this is wrong. Something's wrong with me. And Norman's always been like, no, nothing's wrong with you, honey. Oh, mm-hmm. Shit. Nothing's wrong with you. And now he's saying something's wrong with you. And Edwards is there to say, okay, but we're going to help you.
Well, there was that moment where this...
He's going to be okay, right?
Everything's going to turn out.
Please tell me he's going to be all right.
I mean, the worst thing would be if he becomes some sort of, like, I don't know, crazed guy who runs a hotel and kills chicks. Yes.
That's
not going to happen,
right? Worst case scenario. When the bouncer banged his head into the mirror, usually when he comes out of his blackouts, he's just sort of comatose for hours, if a day, who knows, for a long time. But he smashed in the mirror. Got him out of it immediately, and the first thing he sees is his face.
Yeah.
So I think that was his realization that, oh, shit, like, maybe something crazy is going on here. He knows Norm is not going to be in a place like that. Wow. He knows what he saw is not his real mother.
I need a bigger plate for these hot takes you're serving up over here. Woo!
Heaping spoonfuls, gentlemen. Whoa. Heaping spoonfuls.
I need a bigger plate. Hot take Julia.
What did you say? I need a bigger plate.
Those are some hot takes.
Oh, Dr. Braswell.
I like it. All right. Well, so we got to get out of here. But that was, I agree with all that. So I wonder if he thought all this time that he would maybe break out and be crazy or he would not take his meds. But maybe, you know, this is what's so sad because then you have so much hope. You have all this hope. And maybe Norman starts to get better and he starts to get well and he starts to realize things. And then something's going to happen to push him back over the edge. That's going to be a very sad moment for me. But anyway, let's get into some predictions. Let's get out of here, Joe. I'm sorry. Let's get into some predictions.
There it is.
You're after Buzz TV.
I think we already did some predicting. We did the prediction. I think you and I both hit up. The chair from Arrow is definitely going to have to whack our girl Rebecca. Mm-hmm. She's not long for this earth. And what else? I think that's as far as I'm willing to go. I don't know. I mean, like I said about Emma and
Someone's
Dylan.
Someone's gonna get whacked. That's all you got.
And with Emma and Dylan, I think that that she's gonna eventually that whole thing's he'll either see it coming and jump off the train, or she's gonna throw him off the train. But I don't think that one will last.
Okay.
I think that it feels like Emma is on her way out of this world that we're living, but I think
not like dying, but Seattle.
Just moving to Seattle, but I think she will be drawn back because of, you know, the disappearance of her mother. I also think Dylan will be drawn back because he's been enjoying Norma and having a family and a mother for a second, and he sees, you know, potential there now that she's married, and maybe there's a dad figure, and maybe there's
Are you my daddy?
I don't know. Norman's gonna find out that Norma's married, and ain't gonna be pretty.
It's gonna come in the magazine. That'll be the picture from Lights of whatever. Yeah. That's what's gonna be, and it's gonna land in the loony bin, and he's gonna be
There's a whole bunch of like
shit all over the floor.
Everywhere.
We're headed for a big intersection of all kinds of reckoning here, right? Because you know this whole once Emma figures out her mom is dead. You know, and that happens. And then once Norman does whatever he does to, like, once he realizes that he's, Romero is going to have to do something about old Rebecca. Mm-hmm. And that's going to cause some sort of rift between him and Norma.
Mm-hmm.
That rift is probably going to piss off Norman, I imagine. And then all of them have to deal with this whole death of Emma's mom. And I feel like we're all headed for some crazy intersection of everyone going nuts and being at their craziest. Like, Norma's not going to be Norma. Norman's going to go nuts. Romero's going to kill somebody. I don't know. I feel like we're headed for like a real...
Well, everyone's made little breakthroughs. Everyone's a little happy and comfortable just for a moment. Yeah. It's not going to
work. Calm before the storm.
Yeah.
We're going to get out of here. Art in Car, Dr. Blackgate Edwards, if that's okay with you. Grace, Ginny. I just want to say hi to some of these people that were online. And then... people who are online now, goodbye to Drew S. and Marsha and Sylvia and everyone else. Chloe, thank you for joining us. All you folks who are joining us live and on iTunes, we appreciate you very much. We will all see you next week. Joe, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's at Joe Flippo, JoeFlippo.
Julia.
Twitter, Instagram, my name, Julia Carely, JuliaCarely.
I'm Joe Braswell. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell and on Snapchat at... What am I, Snapchat? Oh, JK Brass on Snapchat. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next week.
Woo!
Love you. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.